In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here. Starting a little bit late, had a few technical difficulties, but I am very excited to bring you all the high school information. I got a loaded show for you guys today for the next hour and 45 minutes, all the way till 12 o'clock here at First String Sports on Blackstone and Sierra Avenue. So make sure you guys come down here for all your high school sports needs. This is show number 24, the Central Valley Sports Report, and I love being in this room. I call this the place to be, full of Letterman's jackets everywhere. I see Kingsbury, San Joaquin Memorial, Buchanan, Bullard, all the rural schools, Dianuba, Selma. Yeah, come down here for your Letterman's jacket needs. They'll definitely take care of you. They'll personally embroider anything you want on your under Letterman's jacket. And obviously, you know, they got sports equipment. Baseball is right around the corner. This is definitely the place to go for baseball equipment, full selection of baseball gloves. So again, thank you to First String Sports for being our number one sponsors. They do a great job, and I love coming here every Saturday. Okay, so what do we got on the lineup today? So Central Section historian Bob Barnett is coming in. Bob Barnett, if you know the name, you know absolutely what he does and what his passion is. He is the Central Section historian. He's done it for the past 37 years. He is the authority in all things Central Section high school sports, from football to basketball to baseball, loves track and field as well. We're going to be talking about basketball, all-time leaders, single-season leaders, career leaders, some of the best teams that he's ever seen. I can't wait. That's going to be a ton of fun. Around 10:30, a little after 10:30, Bob is going to come on. So we're really looking forward to that conversation. At 11:05, I think you guys have heard of this guy. Marcus McMarion is coming in live here at First String Sports. Marcus is launching a brand new venture. He has an app and a website that's going to be, it's going to blow everybody away. It's going to be a mentorship / how to train your mind, how to get to the next level physically and mentally. I'm really excited to talk to Marcus. He's a Dinuba boy, so we're going to talk about some of his Dinuba days and obviously his Fresno State days as well and what it takes to be, a Division I athlete. So looking forward to talking to Marcus at around 11 o'clock, a little after 11 o'clock, and then our 14:30 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week is Clovis East senior guard Cam Thompson. He's going to be coming in as well. Clovis East had a really good week in boys basketball. They had that big win against Central on Tuesday and then beat Buchanan by 31 points last night. So looking forward to having Cam on at around 11:30. Okay, some news and notes here about what's going on in the Central Section regarding high school sports. Hey, guys, we are now at the tail end of league in basketball. Basketball playoffs are going to be here before you know it. There is some news that came out. Unfortunately, our championship games here in the Central Section are not going to be played at Celand Arena for the second year in a row. The Fresno County Office of Education decided that they weren't going to be able to host and sponsor and run the championships at Celand Arena. It was disappointing for a lot of people, for especially guys like me, a lot of fans who just loves the atmosphere of the 2 days and get to see a lot of good basketball. It's understandable, right? I mean, COVID is still lingering out there, and they're, talk about what they're going to do with restrictions and how many people are you going to let in. Obviously, the championships are going to be played. And so, as of right now, most likely it is going to be at the higher seeds. So, whoever the higher seed is in the championship game, they will be able to host. So, the atmosphere, and the kids love it, right? The kids love playing in Celand Arena and in front of the big crowds. And it's actually, a good a good deal where, you know, if you can, somebody can stay and watch, you know, three different games and watch some teams that they normally don't get to watch. But, yeah, so it is what it is, and it looks like the home teams are going to be able to host the championship games. So no games at Cylinder Arena, but that's okay. We still got basketball. Clovis North boys last night, they beat Clovis West boys, the number one ranked team in the Central Section. Played their rivalry game last night at Clovis North and beat them 59-49. They're currently ranked number 8 by Cal High Sports. They are in the driver's seat for the number 1 seed all through the playoffs. And like I mentioned, no games at Cylinder Arena, so there's no neutral court. So that number 1 seed, or the higher seed, I suppose, is very, very important, because when you get to that championship game, man, you definitely want to host, because you get the home crowd and, you know, you get a little bit more of the gate, get a rake. You get your concessions and all that. So Clovis West continues to roll. St. Joe's, they also continue to roll. They're playing lights out basketball as well. Down on the coast, they are the defending open champions. They are 20-2. They won this big tournament in Alaska last weekend. So they're rolling. They got a stud. I think Mr. Bob Arnett and I might be talking about this freshman that they got over there and some of the records that he's approaching already. And San Joaquin Memorial. So I went last night to San Joaquin Memorial and Bullard basketball game. It was an electric atmosphere there. It's a rivalry. Those two schools, let's just say highly competitive, right? So I was sitting in the stands. We weren't broadcasting the game, so I was a fan and tweeting some updates. But they had this really cool laser light show to begin the game. The student sections was really, really into it on the south side. They had their glow sticks, and they were really getting after it. So that was a lot of fun. And that student section is really close to the action, too. I saw the referees a few times, had to back them up. But the admin did a really good job, too, as well. But, yeah, San Joaquin Memorial started off hot, really hot. And actually, I sat next to Bob Arnett during that game, and they jumped out to a 16-3 lead. But Bullard just kept chipping away, and they actually had a 1-point lead in the fourth quarter. Memorial ended up winning by a point, 64-63. Joseph Hunter, as advertised, he was the best player on the court last night. Scored 25 points in the second half alone, 38 for the game. So he's the Fresno State commit, and 6'5" shooting guard, had a couple monstrous dunks. Controlled the game, is a really good passer as well. So, yeah, Memorial, right now they are the number 3 seed in the open division. If they could hold on to that 3 seed, and, they might be looking at going to St. Joe's, which would be a championship caliber game. So, yeah, Memorial looking really strong. And Bullard, right now, they are, 12-10, but they're a really solid team as well. Lawan Watts is a good player, 6'5". Tyrek Harrod had a really good game again. He's a really good shooter. So, yeah, Bullard, they are the defending D1 champs. So they are definitely not a pushover. On the girls' side, Clovis West, right? Clovis West, number 11 in the state. They're just kind of rolling through track again. They are well on their way to another 10-0 track season. Coach Craig Campbell does a phenomenal job. They're the 2017 Open Division state champs, number 1 nationally ranked team. Me and Bob Arnett might be talking about that team and where they rank as one of the best teams in the Central Section. Clovis West girls just keep on rolling. Speaking of another girls team, Carruthers. So I follow a lot of their social media accounts, especially Twitter. If you guys aren't on Twitter, you should sign up. It's pretty cool because you get updates. You get real-time updates. You follow whoever you want to follow, and you can scroll through and see some highlights as well. So Carruthers does a good job of keeping people updated on Twitter, and they have they got a 90-game league win streak in the West Sierra League. They keep on rolling. Last year was they got put in the open division. They were the number 3. Sorry, they were the number 2 ranked team, I believe, in the open division, and they ran into Clovis. So there's a lot of talk about that. It's a small school, right? And they did, do they Did they deserve to be in that open division? Well, they got a good team again this year. Not quite as good as last year as far as what a lot of people say and some of the things that I've seen. Right now, they are in Division One, which is about right. But yeah, 90 games in league, 90 straight. That is quite a win streak. All right, I want to bring in before we hit a break here. We got a couple minutes. Gabe Camarillo back at home base. Gabe, we had an interesting week of basketball. We talk about the rankings a little bit on the boys' side with Clovis West, St. Joe's, San Joaquin Memorial, and then that Clovis North team. They actually had a 27-22 lead against Clovis West at halftime. And then Mount Whitney now has fallen. We talked about them a little bit to Division One because they were in the open division for about a week at the 4C, but now they have dropped to number one in Division One, where Dinuba is two, then Bakersfield Christian Central, Clovis East, Buchanan, Centennial, and Porterville. Gabe, what's going on? Anything stand out to you in basketball right now?
Yeah, first I just want to say I'm still recovering from not a high school game, but last night's college basketball game, Fresno State and Boise State. So obviously I was at that game last night. I usually go to their Fresno State basketball games whenever they're playing at home, and obviously last night was an important game. But while I was at the game, you were texting me some updates from Memorial Bullard and from Clovis North to Clovis West, because those were the two big boys basketball games last night. And you said something interesting to me. You asked me, is that Clovis North, Clovis West score right, 27-22 at halftime? And I was kind of shocked when I saw that. I was like, really? Is that really it? And it was. So that's the first thing I want to talk about, is just Clovis North was able to stick with Clovis West for a half, obviously. And we knew that they were able to stick with Clovis West. We were both at that first game when Clovis North went triple overtime against Clovis West and had a lot of chances to beat Clovis West, by the way. But seeing that game and knowing that Clovis West, from the looks of it, was fully healthy and had their stars, I think Clovis North, if they're able to put together some momentum this second half of track, if they're able to beat Central, make up for that loss, and beat Clovis East, Buchanan, and the other track teams, then I think that they might have a chance to not only be the number four seed in open division, but I know Clovis West is seen as the number one team, and they've been the number one team throughout the season. But Clovis North showed already this season that they could push the Golden Eagles to the limit. So I think the result of that game, it ended up being a 10-point win for Clovis West. But it being so close at halftime, it being so low scoring, that's the way Clovis North and Clovis West might have it go the third time they play, if they play an open division.
Yeah, and, just, again, looking at the Max Preps rankings, that's how our playoff seedings go. There's no human element. It's purely by Max Preps, and there's a rating system as well. There's a strength of schedule ranking as well. So yeah, unless Clovis North really blows it in a final half of league, I still think they're going to be in an open. And so right now it would be Clovis North at Clovis West in that first game in the open division. They take the top four, and then after that, we talked about Clovis East. I got Camden Thompson coming on, and looks like they're playing really good basketball. They beat Central. Central's got a really good team. They're really athletic. I've seen them this year as well. So, yeah, it was a really good week for Clovis East basketball as well, wasn't it?
I think so, definitely. They're 4-2 in track play, and two of those losses, one was to Clovis West. I think if you ask head coach Adrian Wiggins, that was probably the one game that, they knew that they were going to struggle with. But the Clovis North game, it was at Clovis East. It was an electric atmosphere. I was able to catch the final minute of that game, and they had Clovis North on the ropes. I think, honestly, yeah, Clovis North and Clovis East, if they play again, when they play again, it's going to be another close game, even if it's at Clovis North. So I wouldn't put it past Clovis East to be a surprise team in D1 that might even make an appearance in the semifinals because of, as you mentioned, Cam Thompson, Jamison Cowings. They have a lot of scores. It almost reminds me of that team we both watched, Paul, 2 years ago, the team with Tyler Pacheco, yeah, Jermall Pittman. It's like this team is similar in that they're scrappy, they're hustlers, they love going after loose balls and fighting for rebounds, and the only thing they love more than that is scoring the basketball, and they tend to do that a lot.
All right, I'm going to pivot a little bit, Gay. We got a few minutes. Didn't mention really any football yet. There's an announcement by Selma. Matt Logue left Selma to go coach at Sanger. Selma announced that Art Francis, a longtime assistant coach in Clovis Unified, coached at Washington Union for a couple years as well. He's been named the head coach, take over the Bears program. So a big fan of Art Francis. I've known him over the years, too. He's a great guy, a lot of fun to talk to. Let me update. So there's still a an open spot for Clovis High. We're kind of expecting somebody to come out and, you know, an announcement to be made for Clovis High's job. Obviously, it's a high-profile job, but it hasn't been announced yet. I haven't mentioned this yet, but Dwayne Wright has been named the head coach at Roosevelt. And Dwayne Wright, if you remember, is a really good running back for Fresno State. That name should sound familiar. He's active on Twitter as well, so he's doing a really good job, you know, putting stuff out about his kids. He's really excited, and he brought in Bernard Berrien, another name that you guys are very familiar with, Fresno State star NFL guy who's been coaching at Buchanan for the last few years. So Dwayne Wright got Bernard Berrien to come over to Roosevelt. So good job by the Rough Riders. Bakersfield officially announced that Rashawn Sheehy is taking over the program. He was the intern, and that program really got turned around. They started off really, really slow and gave Bullard everything they could handle in that championship game. So he is now the permanent head coach there. Sanger West has Rob Thompson as their coach. Kerman, Damon Jenkins is a new coach. And then we mentioned Matt Logue at Sanger. But, yeah, Gabe, what are you hearing about Clovis High? We're kind of expecting something this week, aren't we? Weren't we? So maybe this coming week we'll hear something.
Well, first off, I'm glad that you mentioned all the new hires. I think overall this past head coach hunting season has been successful for a lot of teams. I like the hire of Matt Logue at Sanger. I definitely like the hire of Dwayne Wright at Roosevelt. Bernard Berrien being the receivers coach makes me chuckle. I'm expecting Paul Pinneger to be the quarterbacks coach next.
Yeah,
but
why not?
With all the former Bulldogs there. I think, though, with Clovis High, it's definitely a little mystifying because they were one of the first teams to announce that they had an opening. I mean, Buchanan kind of surprised us because we weren't expecting Giordano to step down, but they got that turned around pretty fast. Reynolds also announced earlier, I mean, I think it was before Hammond announced that he was going to step away, but they got that turned around within a month with Brandon Nagel. The reason why Clovis High has not hired a head coach, I don't know the reason why. I don't know why they haven't done that. I think it's not a good thing to be last. I mean, I get you want to do your due diligence and you want to be able to hire the right guy. You don't want to hire another Jerry Campbell where it ends up being a dumpster fire in 2 years. You want to hire Rich Hammond. You want to hire someone who can stay there for a decade or longer and win consistently. But that's the thing, though. Are you going to find another Rich Hammond? Are you going to find a guy who can put together 12 consecutive winning seasons? The pressure is on the next hire, whoever it is, to live up to that standard, because Hammond wasn't brought back, I think, because he didn't win championships there. And that's an unfair standard to hold to a head coach. It's almost like it's a D1 program at that point if you're saying that if you don't win championships, you can't be there. So I think it's definitely a little confusing to me why they haven't hired a new head coach. I just trust that the administration there is doing their due diligence. But I'm just saying, after what we saw with Hammond, what he did with that program, and the winning that he did, the standard is high, as it always is at Clovis High.
All right, good stuff, Gabe. All right, so coming up after the break, Bob Barnett, he's got his information out. We can't wait to hear what he's going to bring to the table, talking about all-time greats in Central Section history regarding basketball. Super excited about that. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hi, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. Like I teased at the beginning, we have Central Section historian Bob Barnett here. He's been collecting and archiving high school stats, news, and notes for the past 37 years. If you read the Fresno Bee back in the day, you read the articles, whenever there was an important statistic, it would say, by Central Section historian Bob Barnett, according to, right, Bob? Is that what they would say? His house. Yeah, your house is a museum. I love hanging out at your house. You got pictures of all the basketball championship teams all over in your office.
And right? And some girls, state championship girls that I'm proud of, you know. We won three in a row in girls, and that was real special, with Clovis West girls winning Division One, and then followed by Sierra Pacific winning state championship, and then Carruthers winning. I mean, that's wonderful. 3 years in a row, we won a state championship in girls. But in girls, you know, we go all the way back to 1985 when the Woodlake girls won a state championship in 1985, like I said. Actually, Woodlake played for the state championship, believe it or not, four consecutive years. And they had a couple great players on that team, and Carrie Deaver. And
she ended up being a softball pitcher at Fresno State, yeah.
Yes, and on top of my head, she became a referee, too. Oh, boy, she's going to kill me. But anyway, they had some really good players, and they were coached by Marvin Welch. He did a great job. Marvin's was a great person. But anyway, over the years, we've had some really great girls' basketball teams. And I want to name a few. You know, it all started with San Joaquin Ramoyo. They won four consecutive section championships with a legend on that team in Jackie White. And in 78, they were 27-2. They were coached by Mary Brown. And 1980, these are some of my favorite teams of all time in girls basketball. And in 1980, Jackie's senior year, they were 26-2. And then we move over to 1983. I really like that Reedley team. They were 24-1. Their coach was Skip Pendergrass. Great guy. And then, of course, 85, the Woodlake girls, you know, they were 27-1. I mean, that just a great, great team. Then I move over to Hanford, one of my favorite teams of all time. Had one of the best centers ever to play in the Central Section, and Shantae Polk.
Yeah.
I mean, she scored over 2,000 points in her career at Hanford, and she was special. That whole team, that front line was the best front line in section history. I mean, nobody could match that front line. And then we move over to Craig Campbell's team in 2017. They won Division I state championship. And I've been asked over the years, who's the best team of all time in the Central Section? And that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough because I like Clovis West. I like the Hanford. I think the difference is between the two teams is the Clovis West girls, they could shoot the threes.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the difference. Hanford had the best front line, but they didn't have the three-point shooter. And then Hanford in 2001, both their losses were to the Division I state championship team, Narbonne. Mm-hmm. And they beat Hanford two times. And like I think I mentioned this before, if Hanford would have had just one more player in the guard position, they would have been unbeaten.
Yeah.
Because they had Narbonne two times beat. And the pressure at the end of the game made the difference. They were missing one player. And they had a tough schedule. They played teams from all over the United States.
Yeah.
Very good team. So then we move over to that Carruthers team in 2019. They were 32-4. Great team. Anna does a great job in coaching at Carruthers. In fact, I like to mention this. You know, they have at least a 90-game league winning streak going right now.
They do.
I didn't get the score last night, but I know it's at least 90.
It is exactly 90, Bob. They actually had their game postponed against Parlier last night. So they're still stuck on 90, but no one's going to beat them in league, Bob.
Nobody.
It's going to keep going.
And let's move on what the record is. It's 97. By San Joaquin Ramoyo, 97, and then followed by Hanford had 96. So, I mean, I think they're going to pass that. If it's not this year, it'll be next year, and because they have a lot of talent on that team. And hopefully next week, if everything works out right, and it probably will, they have two girls on that team could reach 1,000 career points. So next week for Carruthers is going to be a big week.
Yeah.
You know, overall, keeping the streak going, watching the two girls go over 1,000 career points. So that's going to be a nice week for Carruthers. And then let's move over to Sierra Pacific in 2018. coached by Amy Bush, they were 32-5. Amy's an outstanding coach. She's done a great job at Sierra Pacific. But that's one of my – that's another state championship girls basketball team. And then the winningest team of all time, the most wins in section history in girls basketball – is Yosemite High School in 2006. They won 35 games that year, coached by Gary Blake. I don't believe he's coaching this year. I believe he's probably retired. He won 396 games with only 163 losses. So Gary's done a great job in his career in coaching at Yosemite. You know, I haven't forgot about you. And so
how on the boys' side, Bob?
Oh, the boys' side.
You got some good stuff over there, don't you?
A lot of great teams over the year. You know what? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Yeah, that's why years ago I was asked individually, who's the best player of all time? Who's the best team of all time? I can't answer that question because as time goes on, the game has changed. And the way the game is played today is different than it was 20, 30 years ago. So to say this person's the best of all time, you can't do that. I'll never do that. Yep. You know, that's why I like talking about people. People that participated in sports in our section, because time changes everything. But as far as teams, I'm going to mention some teams going back from the 50s, okay? And I like this Edison team, 1953. They were 20-1. They were coached by Elam Hill. About three players I really liked on that team was Odell Johnson, later played at Fresno City College, won a state championship, went on to St. Mary's. And then they had two players, about 6'4". 6'4" in those days in the 50s, a pretty good size player. A player named Bobby Washington went to Cal Berkeley. And then they had Harvey Green, another 6'4 player. I mean, they were great. That was a great high school team. And then let's move over to 1958, a Washington Union team. They were 17-0, coached by Don McDonald. You know, they had Joe Lee on that. He was a guard, Lee Starks. And they even beat Edison that year. And beating Edison, they were so close together, neighbors. I mean, that was a big deal. And then going unbeaten. They didn't have a section championship in 1958. And then this is one of my favorite teams, too, of all time. The 1962 Sierra High School. They didn't have a Valley Championship that year in the whole section. Coached by a good friend of mine. Became the CIF commissioner, Merritt Gilbert. That team went 22-0. They even beat the Fresno State Frosh team.
Okay.
Yeah, with Lonnie Huey, Daryl Patterson, and great high school team, one of my favorites. And back-to-back, these are really great, great teams. 1967, East Bakersfield, coached by Ralph Krabbe. They were 29-1. 1968. East Bakersfield again. This time they were 29-0, coached by Krabbe. And when I talked to Krabbe years ago, I said, you know what? Going through your scorebooks, I like the 29-1 team better than the unbeaten team. And he agreed with me. He did. I mean, they had Andy Hill, Don Parrish. They had Myers, who went to Cal Berkeley. And they had Freddie Boyd, went into the NBA, one of the great guards of all time to come out of this section. Probably one of the great high school games in section history was Jolly Spite going against Freddie Boyd.
Okay.
Yeah, and I believe that was the semis that year. I think that was Jolly Spite was a great. He went to Santa Clara. A great player, great team player, great. And he liked to give up the ball to his teammates. Very good dribbler, good shooter, all-around player. He's one of my favorite players. And then let's move over to I like that 85 team of Washington Union. They were unbeaten. They were 29-0.
State champs.
State champs. Coached by Pestridge.
Yeah.
John Pestridge coached that team. Got Jervis Cole on the team, his brother, you know. And that was a great team, the 85 Washington Union team. And in fact, I like the Edison team. I'm a little biased there. My nephew was on that team. They had four players on the 85 Edison team that played the Division I basketball. And maybe five. I'm not sure. Curtis Whittle, I know, played 2 years at Fresno City College, junior college. I don't know where Whittle went after Fresno City. But that's unusual to have four players play Division I basketball. But the 85 Edison team was 26-4, coached by Bob Purdy. The Hoover team, the 88 Hoover team that beat Mater Dei at Fresno City College, a great game. Great game. Full pack, all that house. I mean, you couldn't get a seat. And watching Gary McKnight coach, and Hoover was beating the pants off of him, okay? Then here comes Gary, and he's good at this, okay?
Yeah.
He's a crybaby,
yeah.
Okay? He knows how to work the referees, and it paid off, his technique, because it closed the gap. And Hoover had to hang on to win the game,
yeah. You
know? I never forget that, because I watch coaching closely,
yeah. You
know? And that was a great game.
Pat Riddlespringer.
Yeah, Pat. Game. Pat. Oh, that was a very, very good coach by Ron Moore, you know. And one of the great section championship finals was, again, at Fresno City College. Two great coaches in 1992. Win three overtimes. Three overtime. Never seen that before. Clovis West edged Clovis 61-59. Vance Wahlberg was the head coach for Clovis West, and Al Biancalana was the coach at Clovis. One of the great memories of high school sports of all time. Three overtimes.
At Fresno City
College. And I was there about an hour before the game, you know, trying to settle down. But it was a very special evening, and I really felt bad for the loser.
I did,
because it could have went either way. You know, but that was special.
We're talking really quick with Bob Barnett, Central Section historian. And a lot of these things, obviously, Bob has written down, but a lot of these memories are, they're all on the top of your head.
Yeah.
You're talking about teams from 1958, and you're mentioning guys off the top of your head, Bob. That's very, very impressive. So what else you got for us? I'm just going to kind of get out of your way a little bit.
Okay.
So what else you got?
How I got hooked on high school sports actually started in 1958. My uncle, John Ciano, is my uncle, and he graduated from Edison High School in 1943. He was on the basketball team, but he was a reserve, wasn't a star. But he took me to Kearney Bowl, where Edison that year played in 58, played their home games at Kearney Bowl. Kearney Bowl was known for hard tops.
Okay.
But in the middle of the field was a football field there. So he took me to see Edison play, and he said, "See that player on the field there?" And it was a certain number. He said, "He is really good." I said, "Really?" And his name was Vesty Jackson. He went on to Fresno City College, two-time JC All-American. And I got hooked ever since. And then the next year, I was on the Edison campus, because Edison Junior High, and I got hooked. It was unbelievable how it started. So I followed high school sports over the years. And then in 1985, a football coach from Edison came by my brother's house. The football coach was Larry Willis. And his dream was, he wanted to put pitchers in Edison gym as some of the greatest players to come out of Edison. I told Larry, I said, "You know what, Larry, you don't have enough room in the gym." Because Edison's had a lot of great players back in the 40s and 50s and on.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got started researching. I just started Edison basketball. And then I'm looking and I'm reading because I worked for the Fresno Bee and I had access to all the bound volumes, the Valley Edition, which is not on microfilm. It's not. And, of course, the home section. And I read everything over the years since the 1890s I end up reading, you know.
Well, Bob, I remember, let me tell one quick story. When I went to your house and we were talking high school sports, you brought out a folder that had the California State Track and Field Championships, right? Mm-hmm. All the way back to what year is are your archives that I remember seeing. Was it like 1908? It was.
Well, in basketball, I found out later, 07 in basketball, when J.W. Warner started Fresno High basketball team to play in the Fresno High started playing at the YMCA downtown. That's where the league started for Fresno High. Mm-hmm. Okay. Years later, I found out in 1903, Fresno High in May, the month of May, they played three games in May, a team at the YMCA, and they won two out of three. So actually, high school basketball in our section was in May of 1903. But as far as getting to a league, would have been 1907, Fresno High at the YMCA downtown. It's all boarded up now, but the building's still there.
Yeah.
And that's where high school basketball started. Football actually started in 1892. And one of the great players in baseball of all time, he's in the Hall of Fame, was Frank Chance. He was an N on the Fresno High team that played a club team, okay, in football. But that's how that started in 1892, high school football. And later on, a great player out of Visalia High School, Orville Overall. Great football player. He became a great pitcher. And Frank Chance and Orville would team up with the Chicago Cubs to win the World Series in 08.
Mm-hmm.
08. And they came from our section.
Yeah.
Our section from Visalia High School. And from Fresno High. I mean, that is really, really special, you know. I'll never reading. There's so many memories because when you're reading, your mind is getting deep, like how it was in those years, you know, reading about people.
Well, we have Tom Seaver as well.
Oh, right? Tom.
Hall of Famer, Fresno High.
Yes, Tom. Oh. Tom was always a good athlete, okay, at Fresno High. And people ask me, did he ever throw a no-hitter in high school? And I have game by game of what Tom did in high school. He struck out 18 Clovis Cougars in one game. That was his, you would say, highlight.
Yeah.
To strike out 18 players.
18 out of 21.
Yeah, you know, in those days. But a no-hitter, no, I never seen the no-hitter.
Okay.
But the 18 strikeouts, that's for real.
That's pretty
and
good.
And it was against Clovis, too. So.
Bob, we got a couple minutes. This has gone by so fast. Is there anything that you think anybody out there would just love to hear regarding basketball or any sports about our section?
Yes, I would. The freshman record in boys basketball is out of
the St. Joe's kid this year, yeah.
Well, Julius out of Kalinga.
Oh, the Kalinga.
Kalinga, he has scored 663 points. That's the most points in section history as a freshman, okay? So there's a new freshman record. The first player to ever score 500 points as a freshman is Terry Reason. He had 502 for Clovis West in 1978, and I like to mention that. And I got an email the other day. I like to squeeze in, if I can, a soccer coach, Pat Evans, boys soccer coach. He's at Fresno High now, and it looks like they're going to win the league in boys soccer. And he's the second winningest coach in section history. He has 380 wins right now in boys soccer. And I've known Pat a long time, and I'm glad he's back in our, you know, in the section coaching. He's always done a great job, and there's more on Pat, but just a little, I just wanted to touch that. And then the other night, I was at Bullard Wednesday, and I was with you, and the reason I went to Bullard Wednesday evening, I want to congratulate Tim Amason. I've known for since he started coaching at Hoover, congratulating him and winning 400 wins. And that's a big deal to me, okay, because it's number nine all time in the history of our section, number nine. Pretty good. He's done a great job. But that's why I was there Wednesday night. And then Friday night I team up with you again talking. And the reason I went there was different reasons. I wanted to see Hunter play, okay. I knew it was going to be a great game, like we saw, you know, 66-65. And then I went there for Coach Brad
Rosnowski.
Yes, I went there because he's marching towards becoming the winningest coach at San Joaquin history. And the record he's going to break could be this year. It looks like it because right now he has 191 wins, and the school record is 195 by a good friend of mine, Tom Cleary, who coached the Poindexters back in the late 60s and 70s, won two tournament of champions in Oakland, and that was in 72 and 73 with Clifton Poindexter. But it wasn't just Clifton on the team, the man among boys, that's what he was called, you know, at 6'8". He had some really good teammates. I want to really let people know it wasn't just Clifton, okay? And Tom, if you knew Tom like I did, one of the nicest persons you ever want to meet in your life. To me, he was like a 6'7". He was 6'7". He was like a big 6'7 teddy bear, believe it or not. You know, wonderful guy. Wonderful. I miss him.
Yeah.
But I met Tom. It goes all the way back to 68 when he took over the San Joaquin Ramoyo program. And high school had their summer league at Fresno City College during the summer for high school kids. And that's where I met Tom. And then I met Ron Capriola. He became the girls' basketball coach at Fresno High, Ron did. And he was a friend of mine, too, over the years, you know. And I miss both of them, tell you the truth. There's a lot of people over the years, you know, I'll never see again.
Yeah.
And that's really, for me, is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And then, can I get this
one
in
more
real
thing,
quick?
Bob, you got it.
Last night, it was really, really special being with you. And I saw Donnie Arax. He's on his way becoming a legend in high school football. He's sure marching that way. And then I did see a legend in Tom Donnell, the baseball coach there. You know, Bullard has some really nice coaching staff, you know, from basketball to football and to baseball. And it was really special being with you, watching that game last night. That's what high school sports. And those Bullard kids, you might have lost that game, but you guys played hard. You know, you really hustled, all of them. That was the best I've seen Bullard play.
Yeah.
They really played good. You got to give those kids credit.
Yeah.
That was good. It was a good evening.
It was a good week with you, Bob. I appreciate you. Just a wealth of knowledge. Bob Barnett, just love having you on the show. We're going to have you on soon. We got so much more material to talk about. Really appreciate you, my friend.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me.
You bet. All right. Coming up, we got Marcus McMarion. Excited to talk about Marcus. Coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
Your home for high school sports, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no, we don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Had a great conversation with Bob Barnett, man. I hope you guys enjoy that as much as I did. Just a wealth of knowledge talking about players for the 1950s and 60s. It's good to preserve history, isn't it? And he's the man that's been doing it for 37 years, and I don't know if you heard it at the end, but he said, man, that was too short. That was too short. I got a lot more information. So that's Bob. Just a great guy, and, you know, I loved hearing his encouragement to the Bullard team out there. You knew that, you know, they were a little undermatched physically against San Joaquin Memorial last night, but they were scrappy. So, Bob, you know, Bob, you recognize he's real, right? And so, so it was a lot of fun to talk to Bob. Got Marcus McMerrion here at First String Sports live. Super excited about this. He, I'm a Dinuba guy. He's a Dinuba guy. And so I went to school with his mom and, you know, Liz. And, you know, hey, Liz has a son, Marcus. He's a pretty good quarterback. Yeah, Dinuba's got a pretty good football team, you know. And so that was a lot of fun, you know, to follow Marcus's career at Dinuba. He won a Central Section title in D3. Right? We might get into that a little bit. Went to Oregon State and then, of course, Fresno State. I mean, just a legendary final 2 years of his career. You know, that Mountain West Championship game that we'll get into a little bit as well. He's launching a new app, a website, a business called U Academy Live, and I'm excited to talk about that and let you know, let our listeners know what that entails and what that looks like. You know, Fresno State, you just had that incredible career, 22-6, right, in those 2 years?
Yeah. Coach we Tedford. Won a couple games.
22. I think it was the biggest, or the most wins in consecutive seasons in Fresno State history, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe so. I know our senior year we went that 12-2 was a winningest season. The consecutive, I didn't know that actually. That's nice to know. Didn't know that.
Six losses. That's not very many in 2 years. Do you remember, really quick, do you remember the losses more or the wins? Probably because of that Mountain West Championship, you remember the wins more. But do the losses hurt more than the wins feel good?
Yeah, 100%. I know off the top of my head. I mean, you have the Minnesota game, the UNLV, the Boise game. So I remember the losses a lot more. Yeah. They sting. But, I mean, I don't think we win the amount of games we do our senior year without that loss to Minnesota kind of giving us a reality check. So you definitely learn a lot more from the losses. But, I mean, equally the wins as well.
I'm gonna go back a little bit. This is a high school sports program, right? And I like to talk about athletes, how they got started, their love of football. You know, when did your love of football begin? Was there a moment you were watching a game or TV, you're like, hey, I like this sport, or, you know, were you throwing a football at age two or anything like that? A little Nerf football or something.
Nothing
like that.
That I know that young, super young, but I know growing up my dad played quarterback as well, so I always was just infatuated with my dad and just really loved him, just wanted to kind of grow up and be like him, and he played quarterback position, so I fell in love with him. And as I started getting old and really starting to kind of comprehend things, I know Vince Young was just huge to me, watching him play against SC and Reggie Bush and Matt Leiner and those games that they were playing. And I always wanted to go to Texas. That was huge for me. Just then I realized they only recruit in the state of Texas unless you're just ultra uber successful in high school. So, but definitely everything ended up working out in college. But I'd say that's kind of where it started.
All right. So get to Dinuba. You know, did you know pretty well on where, you know, by your junior and senior year, you played 3 years of varsity?
No, I actually only played two. I only played two? My junior. Yeah, I played my freshman year. I played freshman football, actually.
Okay.
My sophomore year, I played JV, broke my collarbone about game three, so didn't really play JV very much. And then I played varsity for my junior senior year.
So your senior class, did you guys grow up playing football? Did you guys know you were going to have a special season, or, you know, talk about some of your guys?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we had a ton of guys where we played when we were really young. I mean, not as young as they are now. I mean, they kind of got like the Mighty Mites and stuff running around knocking each other's heads off. But those are always fun to go watch. But, yeah, I mean, we always knew we were a special group kind of growing up together. And I know I was actually really excited to play JV as a freshman. And then Coach Sharn actually kept me on freshman. And now that I'm older and I've talked to him about it, he said if we would have moved you up to JV, that freshman team wouldn't have been successful and they might have broke apart and a lot of guys would have stopped playing. So obviously he's a head coach for a reason. He knew what he was doing in the time.
Well, I think that's important, right? You want to play with your guys, right? They probably saw that, like, hey, this class is going to be special. You know what? You know, we want Marcus, we want you to play with your guys even as freshmen, right?
Yeah, 100%. And that's obviously, that's why he's the head coach. He was thinking long game. Hey, when you guys are junior, senior, you're going to be really successful, but to kind of keep that camaraderie and you guys get used to playing each other.
So, obviously, you played Division I college football at a high level. You know, you played high school football as a high level. What is the difference, you know, between high school and college? I'm thinking more of like, you know, maybe the more serious side, the business side. You know, what are the memories different? Are the memories the same? You know, your high school kid guys, you're going to class with them, right? You're hanging out. You're playing Nintendo or whatever after school, after right. practice, right? College might be a little different. Maybe you played Madden in college. But, you know, is there a difference between that?
Yeah, there's definitely still the camaraderie. I think that's huge as far as just being on the same schedule. Never again in your life will you be on the exact same schedule as 100 other guys, and you guys have practice at this time and weights and lifting and do this. So that's definitely special and probably the biggest thing I miss about just the brotherhood of it. But the biggest transition for me from, I mean, high school to college is just high school is going to be the purest form of playing for the love of the game. The higher you get, it gets a little bit more political and a little bit more stressful and starts turning into a job. And then obviously if you're blessed and fortunate enough to play at the highest level, it is your job.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Now, as I like asking that with college athletes or, you know, people that played at a high level, you know, what, you know, difference was with it. They always come back to that. Like high school is special. It's your guys, you're grinding with those guys and it gets a little more serious as you get along. All right. So let's go to Fresno State. You go to Oregon State, you know, you have some really good games there. You know, one of the notable ones is that 16 for 19 for 265 yards and 5 TDs against Arizona. We played for Oregon State. That was a cool deal. You found your way back to Fresno, which was awesome. And I felt like the entire community embraced you, right? Did you feel like that? Did you feel like you were home? What was that coming back to the Valley?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it was a whirlwind of emotions. It all kind of happened so fast, too. I mean, I finished fall camp at Oregon State to transfer to Fresno State to jump right back into fall camp. So kind of repeated the whole process over again. But, I mean, just welcomed with open arms. I mean, as far as just the media attention and just friends and family being supportive. And it just I couldn't picture a better welcome home.
Welcome home. Coach Tedford as well, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Coach is back. What has he meant to you, and what were your thoughts when Coach Tedford returned to Fresno State?
Yeah, I mean, super excited for Coach Tedford to have the opportunity he does. And, I mean, more than anything, that he's healthy and back and just back doing what he loves. And I tell everyone, every single person I talk to, till this day, I know I could speak on behalf of all the guys that I graduated with. If Coach Tedford ever said jump, we'd say how high. We wouldn't even ask why or any questions. And that's just the level of respect that we had for him. I mean, I'd run through a wall for that guy till this day.
Yeah, Tedford's amazing. Okay, I followed you on social media. I followed your career for a long time, and you have a heart for young kids as well. You like mentorship, right? I mean, that's really important to you. I teach in Traver. I've mentioned that on the show, and you came and spoke at Traver right before the pandemic hit, right?
Right.
A couple weeks later, schools shut down.
Yeah.
But you came and spoke to our school, and it really meant a lot. So I teach fifth grade, and I said, yeah, I got Marcus McMarion coming on my radio show. Do you guys remember Marcus when he came to Traver? And all the kids were, yeah, he was really cool.
It.
He was awesome. And then you spoke to our eighth grade class as well, which resonated with them. So you have a heart for that, right? Why is mentorship and developing young kids and being a role model and all those things that, you know, envelop that, why is that important to you?
Yeah, I think it's just super important to give back, especially coming from a smaller school in town like Danube, and then you kind of have your Travers and Parliers and Arosi and all these smaller kind of tight-knit communities. It's that 100%. You're learning more when you're at the Buchanan schools as far as just not learning more but access to resources.
Correct.
It's a little bit different. You're a little bit limited at those smaller schools. But then again, you talk about those Buchanans. Once you get to college, you don't have as many resources that you did in high school. And then in the NFL, same thing. So really the ultimate goal and kind of why I'm excited about it is just kind of simplifying the process for kids and letting them kind of skip not having to take too many right and left turns and just go directly where they want to go.
Was there somebody in your life when you were younger that spoke life into you and breathed life into you that, you know, kind of just sparked that interest? Do you remember some mentors, people that you looked up to?
Yeah, man, it's funny. When people ask me, it's like I wish I could say I was this big bad, just did it all on my own. But, I mean, it really takes a village. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today without, I mean, just tons and tons of people who have impacted my life in different shapes and categories.
So that's – you come now full circle in your life, right? Now you got a young family as well. But, you know, talk about this new venture that you're diving into head first, U Academy Live. Just tell us what you're trying to do here.
Yeah. So U Academy Live essentially is going to be a weekly live call where I'm going to kind of open up my network of just professionals, athletes, and professionals in their field to just kind of share what they've learned along the way. So really the whole goal and mission of it is to, I mean, bring the knowledge from the people who have it to the people who need it, and just kind of, whether that's high-performing athletes or athletes who just want to have a little bit more success or kind of gain that 1% edge and just kind of help fast-track and simplify the roadmap to wherever they want to go.
All right. So when is this launching?
So it launches February 1st.
All right, yeah. Coming up.
Yep, yes, sir. So it's coming up here soon. I know kind of talking and getting a lot of excitement and buzz around it, and super thankful to be here on the show talking about it. And for those of you guys listening, I have to mention Paul has a Dinuba Empress shirt on, so go Empress.
Well, I had my guy CJ Lester, head coach of Dinuba High, on the show. Yeah, so, you know, you talk about the small schools and all that. So he was at Dinuba High grad himself, and then I met him he worked at Munson Sultana School. And that's where we connected, and he got the head gig. So I'm like, CJ, man, you got to come on the show. And you and CJ, you guys got incredible radio voices.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I appreciate
it. You're definitely going to have a future in radio. You might, you know, be taking over my job here pretty soon. But, yeah, you know, we're talking to Marcus McMarion. All right, so how do kids get involved with this? Is it for geared towards high school kids, maybe, you know, junior high kids, people in college? Who is this geared for?
Yeah, so it's really geared towards high school athletes right now. And I know I have a handful of junior high athletes that are super interested, just trying to – I mean, really, the earlier you get going, the better. So, I mean, really geared towards high school, junior high kids. And really to get more information on it, it's just going to be uacademylive.com. And we also have Instagram called The U Academy. So we'll be posting updates and stuff on there as well to anyone who has questions.
So tell everybody a little bit more of how the videos – work, like they log in once a week and you're watching a video. Is it archive? You can watch it later. Can you ask questions? Is it interactive? What does that look like?
Yeah, 100%. So it's going to be an exclusive YouTube link that's going to be broadcasted through the app. So once you subscribe to it, you're going to get access to our app. It's going to have just a live link on there that you could tap, and it's going to be interactive. So you could ask questions throughout it as I'm talking and speaking with the speaker or the guest for that weekend. If we see a question we like, say we have CJ Lester from Dinuba High School, we could grab his question, throw it on the screen. Everyone's going to see who asked the question. We're going to address it, talk about it, kind of move on to the next one. And just like you mentioned, there's going to be an on-demand section where if you miss one or you want to rewatch something for whatever reason, you're going to have access. Or if you join 2 or 3 months from now, you're going to have access to all those reruns.
Oh, that's way cool. Way cool. Okay, so what is going to be the main focus? So you talk about the mental aspect of sports and of life in general, right? How does a kid go next level? What is the mental aspect? Because, you know, being a Division I guy, everyone's a great athlete. So what are you going to talk about? What it takes to separate yourself? You know, somebody's more physically imposing than you on the court or on the athletic field. You're going to talk about how to get the edge. Is that what that looks like?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's going to be more so just finding your strengths and figuring out, just trying to sharpen those and tune those up. And just the biggest thing is, the best way I could explain it is, far as a lot of kids try to work on their weaknesses and try to be an all-around, but you don't want to be a jack of all trades. I mean, if Tom Brady was trying to be Tyreek Hill, he would never be Tom Brady. So Tom Brady's really good with the mental side of things and just addressing defenses and coverages and identifying stuff. So really trying to figure that out. But then at the end of the day, also, once you get to college, I mean, I was the best in the city, and then you're the best in the state. And then when you get to college, I mean, everybody's talented. So you kind of reach a point in success where talent doesn't play a factor anymore, and you got to find different things to separate yourself.
Okay, so I want to remind everybody. So you can just go to uacademylive.com, get sign up there, and you could also do it through the app.
So once you sign up on U Academy Live, you'll get a welcome email with access to all that stuff
as well. Yep. Okay. Well, speaking of high-level athletes, I know I sent you some questions earlier, and I didn't prep you for this, but I'm sure you could speak on this a lot. So Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Right? So did you compete against him? When he was at Wyoming, or did you meet up with him? Or
we
like
actually
that?
Just missed each other. So when I was going to play, when we did play against Wyoming, we played him. He had a shoulder injury,
right.
I want to say. So the one time we were going to play against each other, we didn't end up playing. Got to talk to him briefly after the game a little bit. And obviously, I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. So it's definitely super special to see someone from the Valley doing that.
What do you think? You know, obviously Josh Allen, you know, was a high draft pick, right? And, you know, wasn't recruited very highly out of high school. We all know that story. But how do you think Josh Allen as a quarterback adapted to become where he is? Obviously the physical tools were there, and you could tell from his interviews and, you know, everything in his process, he's taken major, major leaps, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to put yourself in his shoes necessarily, but how do you think he was able to do that? Was it just the mental side, just putting that all together?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it's a care factor too. I think a lot of people don't realize that to play that position and play at that high level, really any position in the NFL, it's a full-time job, and you could either work on it and perfect your craft when you're outside of the facilities and when you're home and continue practicing and try to do everything you can to get an advantage, or you could stop when you leave the facilities and you're probably not going to be as good as those Josh Allens and Derek Carrs and Patrick Mahomes. So those guys, I mean, they live and breathe football, and it's really what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Marcus McMarion. All right, let's go back a little bit. I want to go back to your Fresno State days, if we can. You know, everyone talks about that. How often do you get asked about that Boise State game, the Mountain West Championship? But
yeah, all the time. And that game was so unreal. And, I mean, just I remember getting on the plane after the game. Like, I knew it was a big deal. But then seeing a couple news stations that put together, like, a montage of all the – just the raw reactions of people watching and just screaming at their TVs and jumping with joy. And until this day, when I rewatch that video, I kid you not, I get chills watching it. And just, it just really hits me my heart. It's just super special. Watch.
Well, I was one of them. I know we got a lot of friends of the show. You know, George Takata went crazy too. I've ever seen a video with George. And obviously, if you go back, you listen to Cam Worrell's right call. You listen to Pat Hill. How excited Paul Leffler was. I mean, it was just because it's Boise State, right? And it's because those guys, you know, ruined our season with David Carr back in the day. So all that stuff just kind of came out. All right, explain the play call. I want to get into your mind a little bit. What was the exact play call, and when that was it Tedford who called that into you?
Yeah, it was Coach DeBoer. So Coach DeBoer actually called it. So we got obviously an option, speed option to the right, where kind of faked the rundown. I read the end man on the line of scrimmage. Ronnie actually made a great play. He ended up making the pitch key miss and the second guy miss. So he actually did double responsibility. But it's funny, I'll kind of let you in on a little insight real quick. I know if you actually rewatch that play, I walk up. I almost changed the play at the last minute. I was about to flip it because they were overloaded to the side we're going to do. If I had it, but there's about 5 seconds left on the play. If I would have had about 2 more seconds, I would have completely flipped that play. And who knows? Maybe it would have got stopped and it would have been my fault. But it ended up working out. So it ended up being really good. I kind of walk up. I froze and I said, dude, you don't have enough time. So I backed up. I said, you got to run with it and let it ride. And I mean, it's definitely one of the more prominent plays in my mind, at least in my career, as far as just a historic behind it.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to have to go back now and watch that and see you thinking about changing that play. That's awesome. All right. So talk about what happened. You know, I think you were going to go, you had a contract signed with the CFL, right? After that, you had a little bit of training camp, and then like COVID monster kind of hit and just all that crazy stuff. Were you going to go try out with the Raiders?
Yeah, correct. So I did a rookie mini camp with the Raiders. So I was there for a couple of days, and then I did some training camp with the Saints. I was there for a couple of weeks, ended up getting let go right before preseason started. And then I signed a 2-year contract with Calgary in the CFL. And just kind of my luck, COVID kind of hit it right around that time. So signed a professional team for 2 years. The toughest part about it, too, is nobody really knew what the extent of the pandemic was. So it was kind of, hey, you're leaving on Saturday. Be ready. And then, no, you're leaving next Saturday. Be ready. You're leaving next Saturday. So this went on for probably about a 6-month roller coaster. So it was just an emotional ride for sure. And then ended up deciding to kind of step away from the game. And it's kind of cool. They reach out to me every now and then, too, if I change my mind or not. They said I always have a home there. So that's good to know.
But you got a young family now, right? And so, you got to make all those decisions. Like, oh, man, is this my dream? But, I mean, I think your heart, Marcus, is in the right spot. Your mentorship, you know, I've seen that firsthand, you know, through experience, how special it is, you know, that you go out into the community. And that's really important as well. What are some of your goals now? You know, you're still pretty young. Are you 26 now?
Yeah.
Yep. 26. You're yes, young. Sir. So how do you see a lot of this progressing as far as, you know, do you want to build your U Academy just huge? Are you just anticipating, you know, maybe enough, you know, start with 10 kids, start with, you know, get up to 25 and get to 50. What's your vision for that?
Yeah, so my vision is to get it as big as I could continue to provide tons of value to the kids. And I never want it to get out of control to where I can't control and bring value to it. But I think I kind of have the platform to where I could have hundreds and not thousands of kids. And I want to just touch as many kids and lives as possible. I know I've been doing the quarterback training for a long time, and I would sprinkle in the mindset stuff here and there. And I know a lot of the parents would overhear it and say, man, I wish the the linemen could hear this, or the receivers could hear this, and it's kind of a seed that was planted a while back that kind of ultimately grew into U Academy Live as to how I could scale it and touch a lot more lives.
Excellent. Okay, Marcus, really appreciate you coming on the show. Just, you know, you came back to the Valley and you supplanted, yourself in the hearts and minds of Fresno State fans and Dinuba. You're Dinuba strong as well. So really appreciate you. Good luck. Tons of fun. Good luck in the future.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Paul.
All right. Coming back on 1430 ESPN, the Central Valley Sports Report. Got Cam Thompson, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Manners, here on 1430 ESPN. What a great show so far. We got bottom of hour number two. Talked with Bob Barnett. Talked with Marcus McMarion. Oh, that was so great just to hear about his experiences and now how he's breathing life into young athletes as well. So, yeah, just what a quality guy Marcus McMarion is. So that was a lot of fun to talk to him. I want to remind you guys, you can go to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website, and you could download all the past episodes of the Central Valley Sports Report. So, if you happen to miss, a half hour here, if you got in your car just driving around and you heard and you liked what you heard, you could go back and listen to the whole shows there, all the shows under podcasts. We also have the Jose Gonzalez show every day from noon to two. We have Off the Bench podcast, podcast guys that come on from 2 to 4 on Saturdays. So you guys could tune in there as well. And of course, Bulldog Hour with Tony D, the infamous Tony D, does an incredible job breaking down, and he knows all about Marcus McMarion as well. So yeah, make sure you guys tune in to those shows as well. So come to our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. We got a young man here from Clovis East, basketball player Cam Thompson. So Cam, what's going on? What's today? Saturday, right? What do you like to do on Saturdays? Is it kind of your sleep-in day?
Yeah, it's the day after a game day, so I normally sleep in a little later than normal.
Yeah.
And then I get up and have a little workout.
Okay. So you already worked out today?
No, I haven't.
You haven't. But you will.
I will.
So workout, does that consist of lifting weights or just shooting?
Depends on the game the night before.
Are you sore? Are you sore from last night's game, or are you fine?
Not from last night.
Not from last night, you want to mention. Yeah, they had a big, 31-point win against Buchanan. So, yeah, you didn't get beat up too much in that game, did you?
No, I didn't.
All right, so Cam has had a really, really excellent week this last week. It was a really good week for Clovis East basketball. So you had that big win against Central, right? I think you scored 20 points in that game. What was clicking in that game? Central's good, but you guys are playing really good basketball. So what was clicking in that game against Central?
Well, we obviously didn't start off too well, but our rebounding, we got real physical in the paint when the shots went up, and we just started to rebound better and get more stops, and we just hit a couple big shots. And
well, when you think about Clovis East basketball, you guys don't have a lot of big guys. Let's be honest, right? That's kind of been your MO. You guys move the ball really well. You're scrappy. You play hard. So you don't have a lot of guys that are over, let's just say 6'2", do you? So how do you guys, does Coach Wiggins really just teach that mentality? Hey, we might not match up physically with some teams, but we're going to get after it, aren't we?
Yeah, he emphasizes toughness.
Yeah.
He's a big believer in no matter what size you are, you can still be tough and win a blockout and get a rebound.
How tall are you right now?
I'm 6 feet tall.
We're calling you 6 feet?
Yeah.
Are we rounding up a little bit? You're about the same size as me, so okay. We'll call you 6 feet. We're cool with that. But, yeah, when you're on the basketball court, obviously you're scoring a lot of points a game this year. I think you're at 18 points, about seven assists, five rebounds, three or four steals a game. Kind of describe your game. You're a senior this year, so you've really had to step up your scoring, but what's the best part of your game?
I honestly think the best part of my game is my court vision. I see the court really well, and I find the open man most of the time.
Most of the time.
Yeah. It's still something I'm working on, but I really like my court vision the best.
Do you think that has really improved over the years? You played varsity as a sophomore, right?
Yes.
So do you think that's one of the biggest parts of your game that's improved over the last couple of years, just your court vision and the game being a little bit slower? Obviously, you're older and you know, you're a little more physical, but you feel like your court vision has really improved?
Yeah, it's definitely improved. Playing with such great teammates these last few seasons, great cutters and shooters, has just really helped with my ability to see the floor well.
I want to talk about that. You said the word cutter. So that's really important in Clovis East basketball, right? Cutting to the basket, seeing those angles, right? So how, you know, when you cut to the basket or when a teammate cuts to the basket, is that really important in Clovis East type basketball?
Definitely. It helps get our
movement. Your movement?
Yeah, it helps get our pace going.
Yeah.
And it opens up driving lanes for us.
What let's go back to that sophomore year, right? You guys won D1.
Yeah.
You guys won the D1 championships at Celland Arena. You had three seniors that were really good that year, right?
Yeah.
Tyler Pacheco, Jamal Pittman, and Will Wiggins, right? That was the core three. And I know you'd come in and you hit a shot every once in a while, right, and contributed a little bit. Did those guys, like, were those guys kind of like, you know, mentors to you, or did you look up to them? You know, being a sophomore, you're like, hey, I want to get to their level. You know, I want to contribute the most I can. Or what did that season look like?
Well, as a sophomore, we had big goals at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And Will, JP, and Tyler helped preach and show where we wanted to get to. They were our mentors, and they were where we all wanted to get as a team.
Yeah. What was that celebration like at Celland Arena? Because I remember doing that video, right? The video of you guys getting crazy there. What did that celebration feel like?
It was surreal. It's a feeling that I'll have for the rest of my life. It was just amazing.
Did you guys get your rings pretty quick after that? Did it take a while?
I think it took a while.
Yeah.
But it was worth it. It was worth it.
Where's your ring right now?
Sitting in my room in its little case.
In a little case. All right. So this year's team, you guys are what, 16-9, right? I think 4-2 in league. You guys feel like you're playing your best basketball this season, right? You guys play a tough schedule. It's one thing about Clovis East that I've noticed, that you guys don't play a lot of tournaments in the central section. You guys gone to Las Vegas, right? What was the other tournament you guys went to?
Morro Bay.
Morro Bay. There might have been one more. I think there's one more out-of-section tournament, right?
Yeah.
And then you guys get into league. Yeah, so how is that, you know, going to these tournaments and seeing other teams, right? They probably play a different style of basketball than they do in the track, right? When you go and you play these other teams, you guys think that strengthens your team? Then when you come and play in the Valley, you guys are battle-tested?
That's one of the things Coach Wiggins said. He said he wants to go out and play these different teams and bigger and taller teams, so they can prepare us for when we come back to the track. If we can play these bigger and taller teams and compete, then we can come back to the track and play with anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys have proven it. 4-2 so far in track. You guys had those two big wins this last week against Central and Buchanan. Okay, so what's a typical practice look like at Clovis East with Adrian Wiggins? You know, we know his pedigree. He coached, you know, basketball at Fresno State. He's tough-minded. I've gotten to know him over the years. What's a typical practice at Clovis East look like?
We normally start off with skills or – yeah, we normally start off with skills. And then skills will get into a bunch of shooting, like we do this thing called three-minute shooting.
Okay.
It's like a three-man weave up the court, and you have to hit 65 shots in 3 minutes.
Okay.
And then.
And what if you don't hit 65 shots in 3 minutes?
Then we got some conditioning.
Oh,
we got some
more
conditioning, and right, then we'll move into the toughness part of his practice.
Okay.
And that's rebounding against our bigs, paint passing. You got to get three passes in the paint, and you get a point. First one to three doesn't have to run.
Okay.
And then at the end, we do free throws. And it's a one and one. You miss the front end of the one and one. It's a up and back twice.
Oh, man.
And then you make one, miss one. It's just an up and back.
Have there been some times you're like, man, I don't want to be here. I can't wait till this is over. It just makes you a little more mentally stronger, though, right?
Yeah, it always coaches' practice always makes us mentally stronger.
I've heard of that. Talking with Cam Thompson, Clovis East basketball. All right, I want to ask you this. What do you enjoy more? I think I saw that video of you making that crazy pass, right? You made some crazy behind-the-back pass.
Yeah.
First of all, before I get into this question, describe that play. You talk about your court vision, right? So you made some, like, behind-the-back pass, like, I don't know, were you falling out of bounds or something by the three-point line for a layup?
It was near the three-point line. My teammate Jacob had got a tip on the ball, and I went and got it, and I was like, I think you should be back there somewhere. So I grabbed it, and I just kind of threw it behind my back and managed to hit him.
And you hope for the best?
Sometimes.
What if you threw that ball away? What do you think, you might have found yourself on the bench?
I definitely would have been on the bench.
But you took a chance.
Yeah.
You took a chance. All right.
Just a little.
Yeah. So what do you enjoy more? You know, doing something like that, giving a pass, giving an assist to your teammate, you know, or making, you know, a 23-foot three-pointer, or making, you know, just a crazy layup. Which of those is more satisfying to you?
Honestly, throwing a nice assist, it gets my teammates involved, it gets us all going, and it's just really nice to see my teammates play.
There you go. That's the right answer, right, coach? That is the right answer. You want your guys to celebrate your other teammates because you get the assist, and then your teammate gets the 2 points, right? So everybody wins in that play, right? You guys have Clovis West and Clovis North next week, right? Did I mix it up? You have North on Tuesday and West on Friday?
Yeah.
All right, so those guys, you guys, let's be honest, you guys, you know, you guys are not going to score in the 80s like a lot of these teams do. You like to slow it down. You like to have, you know, good, you know, take your time, good, you know, strong, smart possessions. When you play against teams like that, they like to play fast. They like to speed you up. What do you guys try to do to counteract that? Just play tough-minded defense? You guys try to slow down the game? Because it's easy to get caught up in some of those games, right?
Yeah.
So what do you have to do against those really, really fast teams?
You have to make them play faster, turn over the ball. If you can get them to do that and rebound, then the game from the start of the game will be so much easier if you can get them to turn the ball over.
I feel like those games, too, the action is so fast and furious, isn't it? Like, yeah. you get caught up in some of those things. Like, as far as your game, as a senior leader, how do you put a lot of pressure on yourself as a player to, like, hey, I got to be the leader, I got to be the scoring leader, or I got to do whatever it takes to win this game? Do you put a lot of pressure on yourself, or you just kind of like, hey, I'm the man out there? What do you try to do?
I just kind of, like, go with the flow. Our coach says pressure is either felt or created.
Okay.
So I feel like I create the pressure instead of feeling it.
Excellent. That's a good answer. All right. I want to talk about, I heard a story about you that when you were younger, the school that you went to, your elementary school, would have to call your parents all the time because you kept falling in the mud. Right? I think I'm surprising you with this question here. Is that true? Would the mud find you? Do you have to change your clothes all the time? They said even if it wasn't really raining, somehow you'd find some water, some mud to slip into. Is that a true story or not?
Yes, that is true. As a little elementary school kid, I would go out and play soccer because, you know, soccer's fun.
Yeah.
And the field was always muddy for some reason. So I would go out there and I'd get a goal and then I'd celebrate, run back. And I would just slip, and there I was in the mud.
Slip, right? You'd probably just be diving head first after you're scoring goals in elementary, right? All right, so true story. Okay, got that. When did you first fall in love with basketball? Like, did you start as a little guy? Was the game kind of easy for you? Or when did you first fall in love with basketball?
It was my third grade year. I was attending Sanger, or John Wash, and one of the vice principal started his own basketball team. And at the time, I was just playing soccer.
And sliding around the mud.
And I was like, "Ooh, this sounds like fun." So I ended up joining his team, and I really enjoyed it. After third grade, I started playing soccer and basketball outside of school, and eventually my love for basketball just outgrew my love for soccer.
Okay.
And I started playing a bunch of AAU basketball. I wasn't the best at the time, but all the practices I went to really helped with my progression as a player.
You got any? All right. So who are some of your favorite NBA guys?
NBA guys?
Yeah.
Obviously Curry. Steph Curry is one of them.
Oh yeah, I'm with you on that.
I really like Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole's been playing really good for the Warriors lately.
Sounds like you've been watching a lot of Warriors games. And Klay Thompson coming back. I mean, that isn't that team just beautiful to watch when they are clicking and they are passing the ball. I mean, isn't that a Warriors a joy to watch?
Yeah, it's the ball movement is so nice. You get a bunch of defense from everyone, and just watching all the shots go in is fun, especially when they're wide open.
Yeah, and obviously Steph's amazing. All right, what is your you got some hype music? What's your pregame routine? You got some music? You got some AirPods in, or what's the deal?
I have to have like a sandwich from like Deli Delicious or something.
Okay.
And then I get to the game and I'll warm up in a pair of shoes, and if I don't like how I'm feeling in the shoes, I'll switch to the other ones and play in those.
What are your two choices? What are your two shoes that you got?
I have a pair of Kobe's and a pair of Curry's.
Okay.
Against Buchanan yesterday, I warmed up in my Curry's, and I didn't really like how they felt, so I threw in my Kobe's instead.
It obviously helped.
Yeah.
All right, but you got any music that you listen to, or you just got the shoe thing as your little pregame deal?
Just a little shoe thing.
Okay, I like it. All right, you got any favorite movies or like Netflix? You got any Netflix shows you like, or you got any favorite movies that are your go-to?
Favorite movies. Damn, put me on the spot.
I know. How about Netflix? You got to watch anything? Are you a Marvel guy or a Star Wars guy?
Oh, I'm a Marvel guy for sure.
All right, so Did you like some of those Disney shows that they had on? Was it WandaVision and Loki? Did you watch any of those, or you just watched the movies?
I watched blanking on it. I watched What If.
Okay, yeah, those are good.
And
those are the cartoon versions of like an alternate universe of Marvel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm blanking on the other
Okay, so you're a Marvel guy. You're Avengers?
Yeah.
You like the Avengers? Who's your favorite Avenger?
Favorite Avenger? I would say the Hulk.
Okay.
He's funny, and when he gets angry, it's a little more funny.
Yeah, Hulk smash, right? All right, talking here with Camden Thompson. All right, we got a couple more questions here. It's been a great job. You've done a great job, answering some of my quirky questions here. All right, so do you want to play college at the next level? Are you getting some looks? You want to, maybe try out JC or anything like that?
I would like to play college basketball. I don't know if I really have any looks.
Okay.
But I haven't given up hope.
Okay.
I believe I could play.
Okay. I believe so too. You got a great outside shot. You've taken your game to the next level with your court vision. You always play super, super hard out there. All right. Last question here. What is your ultimate goal? What would make this a perfect senior basketball season for you?
Winning Valleys again. That's our goal this year. We want to get the Valleys, and we want to get there and win. We want to show everyone that Clovis East is for real.
They are for real. They're playing really good basketball right now. They are 4-2 in the track. Next week they got the gauntlet, right? The Clovis North and then the Clovis West. So that'll be a lot of fun. Cam, thank you very much for coming in. Our 1430 student athlete of the week, Cam Thompson of Clovis East. Coming up, we're going to be wrapping everything up here on the Central Valley Sports Report. This is a great show, a lot of fun. So we'll take a little break and we'll wrap everything up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, on 1430 ESPN. I mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show, but you guys can go back and listen to past shows as well. We've done a 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week every week. I could go back and listen to all the interviews, listen to what the students have to say. Just watching a lot of high school sports the last couple weeks, you know, basketball. My daughter plays basketball for Bullard. She's on the JV team, so we watch her and then end up watching the Bullard girls and then, you know, Clovis West boys and Bullard boys and San Joaquin Memorial. It's just, you know, we have a love of high school sports, and there's just something special and different about high school sports here in the Central section, you know, even compared to down south and compared to up north. And, you know, we talk about Josh Allen, just how blue-collar he is and just his work ethic and where he came from, a small town, and that just kind of embodies what our Central section is. And you know, there's just something special about it. And you know, we love to highlight all the kids, and you know, you got a lot of big time guys that are you know, playing next level. And you know, you think about Fresno State as well, with Derek Carr and Devontae Adams, and the list goes on. Paul George, and you know, in the NBA. And you know, a lot of Major League Baseball players as well. So yeah, we love highlighting all the student athletes that come from here, and it's a lot of fun. And when you go to high school games, there's just something different. You know, Marcus even hit it on it. Marcus McMarion, how, you know, when you get higher, when you get to the higher level, when you get to even junior college and Division I, it's different. It becomes more of a business, and that's why high school sports are really, really special. So. Again, I want to thank First String Sports. They've been fantastic hosts of the Central Valley Sports Report. Yeah, it's been a very busy day. I talked to a couple of the workers. They're like, yeah, there's just a ton of people coming in and getting their Letterman's jackets fitted and getting them embroidered. And then you see the high school hats that are there on the side as well. And, you know, they'll personalize anything that you want. You know, you get your uniforms here and your spirit packs and all that here at First String Sports on Blackstone and Sierra Avenues. Want to thank Bob Barnett. I love talking with Bob. That was at the 10:32 mark of the show. Bob is just a wealth of knowledge. He is a passionate man as well, and I loved how he not only had stats, but you know, he had a lot of heartwarming stories. He's talking about some of his friends that have passed away, and some of his coaches, some of his friends that are coaches, and just how special those memories are for him. So it was great to have Bob on the show. Got to have him on again. He's like, man, we didn't even get to talk about baseball. So come baseball season, he's got some great information as well. Obviously, you know, we mentioned Tom Seaver and that great, you know, the 1958 Fresno High team. Tom actually came after that, and then the great Bullard teams in the late 80s, and those Clovis High baseball teams, and obviously Buchanan in the last few years have been some nationally ranked teams as well. So it was great to talk to Bob. He's a wonderful guy with just a wealth of knowledge, and you know, he's a historian, so he is the absolute authority in Central Section sports. So that was wonderful to talk to Bob. I want to thank Marcus McMarion for coming on the show. Make sure you check out his U Academy Live website. It's going to be a great resource, you know, to the mental aspect of sports and how to get to the next level and improving on your strength. So it was great to talk to Marcus and some of those stories of his playing days at Dinuba High and Fresno State, obviously. That was great to hear the story about that last play, that play call where they beat Boise State for the Mountain West Championship game, and how he almost changed the play, but luckily he didn't, and worked out for the Bulldogs. So great to talk to Marcus. And then Cam Thompson, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Great to talk to him. Clovis East has a big week ahead in basketball. So it was great to get to know Cam as well. All right, so we're going to wrap everything up here on the Central Valley Sports Report. And in closing, make sure you are kind, be generous, be passionate in everything that you do, and leave it all in the field. We'll talk to you soon.
of the Las Vegas Raiders, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.